He's amused Cam Newton.
Just ask that question one more time.
He's been insulted by Charles Barkley.
When some idiot in the press asked him, if you know what you know now, what you have scheduled this game.
He's interviewed Matthew McConaughey.
I do say go, Tarion.
And he's taken on Big Blue Nation.
He's just completely taken the wind out of my sails.
It's time for The Drive with Josh Graham.
You are on a Monday Drive, WSJS, News Talk Sports for The Triad, where for the first time since 1955, Wake Forest baseball is headed to the College World Series in Omaha, Nebraska. And between now and their first game at TD Ameritrade Park, or whatever they call it now, you're going to hear pundits say these types of things to kneecap the Deacs. You'll hear, a top seed hasn't won in this format since 1999, since Miami did it. So be sure to temper your expectations. Or you might hear, Wake had such an easy path to Omaha, there are going to be more battle-tested teams left in the field when play starts. And if Wake Forest were a normal top seed, that might be good analysis. But it's pretty obvious that this Wake team is very abnormal. What they are doing is far from normal, so normal rules don't apply to them. This is a historic juggernaut, and they should be treated as such. Let me explain why. The Deacs put up 22 runs on the SEC in a super regional yesterday. 22. They hit 9 home runs. 9 times they stepped to the plate and hit it out at the couch. That's an NCAA record. 9 home runs, a record, or at least it ties
9 times.
You might say, oh, Josh, come on, that's the park. You see how it was flying out? Aluminum bats in that park? Okay. Alabama was playing in the same park last I checked. And they were held to 5 runs or fewer in both of their games over the weekend. If you are of the belief that this is such a hitter's park and it's aluminum bats and all these things, and you want to poo-poo the offensive numbers Wake Forest is putting up, let me ask you this question then. How is Wake Forest closing the regular season with the number one ERA in America when pitchers have to pitch in that park so often? Explain that one for me. How do you square both of those things being true? The offensive numbers they're putting up, number one ERA pitching as well. This team's different. Through the NCAA tournament thus far, they are plus 59 in run differential in this tournament. Plus 59. That is an all-time record for a team heading into Omaha. Last weekend, they're plus 41, 48-7, they outscored opponents. That was the best we've seen since Miami in 1999. So, this is not a normal number one overall seed. This is one of the best college baseball teams we've seen in recent memory. And depending on who you ask, this was either 14 years in the making or 68 in the making. First College World Series appearance since 1955. It's crazy to think, as good as the ACC's been in baseball, that the two programs that have won College World Series, still Wake Forest and Virginia, who happened to be the two ACC programs going to the College World Series this year. It was the Hoos, I believe, in 2015, and then the Deacs in 1955 that won it all. Those are the only two teams in ACC history that have done it. We'll see if that changes this time around. The reason maybe 14 might be the magic number, that's the number of years that Tom Walter has coached. And between that time and where we're at right now, there were some down seasons. Just a couple of years ago, they missed the ACC tournament. And here they are in Omaha. They had that pitching lab. They got really close in 2017. This is the second super regional that they've been a part of under Tom Walter, first time they ever hosted. And they break the door down. And good on them. Here was Tom Walter talking about that process, that journey to get Wake Forest back to Omaha.
It's a big day for our program. This is the culmination of a lot of hard work from a lot of people. It started with Ron Wellman and Mike Buddy and their vision for our program, the improvements we made to the facility. John Curry came on board, moved us further down the field. And, you know, when you got guys like Ryan Sosik and Tony Joyce and our assistant coaches, Bill Salento, Corey Mascara, Matt Wessinger, Will Craig, I mean, those guys do so much to help these guys prepare and develop as players and men. So just proud of our organization. It's a big day for us. And we're going to celebrate this one for 36 hours, and then we're going to get back to work because this team, we've got even bigger goals. Check another box.
Off to Omaha for Wake Forest baseball. This is not normal. Don't let the pundits try to tell you that it is. On Twitter, at WSJS Radio, if you want in on today's show. That's where we're streaming video in addition to YouTube and Twitch. Will Dalton, the executive producer of this show, taking your calls at 336-777-1600-WD. Very excited about this. What tickets are we giving away today? What show are we giving away tickets for?
Look at this photograph.
How about that?
Oh, Darren Bott is making a special trip into the studio in order to help us give away tickets for that. Later on, we're going to bring back the old segment that we haven't done in a couple of years. We're going to be putting together our Nickelback All-Star team.
Look at this photograph.
For baseball. And if you could think of some names, write them down. Think about it. When we get to that later on, you will have the opportunity to win Nickelback tickets in both Raleigh and in Charlotte. Moving things along to the NFL. As the Carolina Panthers continue their offseason workouts, this is going to sound like a knock against Bryce Young, but it's actually not, so stick with me. Bryce Young is boring. Not as a player. He's pretty exciting when he's out there on the field, when you get the pads on and you step between the lines. But his personality is pretty milquetoast. Since he was taken number one in the draft, he hasn't uttered an interesting syllable since that moment. For us in the media, it's not great. We don't have a lot to work with. But from a team standpoint, that's a very good thing. And historically, that's a good thing too. History bears that out. You don't want unpredictable or fun guy as your franchise quarterback. Just like you don't want fun guy or unpredictable guy as your surgeon. Hey, you got something serious that you have to do today. How about I crack a joke that's has some pop culture politics in it. I'm sure you'll want that right before you go under, right? You don't really want a fun lawyer. You don't really want that from your franchise quarterback. Other positions, I'm cool with it. But face of your franchise, trading multiple first-round picks, you're investing so much in this guy, you don't want it. Historically speaking, you know who fun guy was? Great personality, eccentric type? Baker Mayfield, Johnny Manziel. Those were eccentric fun guys. Sometimes you'll get pretty good player, Tony Romo, eccentric, fun guy, but not really franchise quarterback, Super Bowl winning quarterback. You know who wasn't the most fun, who wasn't all that interesting? Laundry list of Hall of Fame quarterbacks, Joe Montana, Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Drew Brees, Russell Wilson. They didn't give you much of anything. They understood that part of the position is politician, where You got to know how to handle yourself and not give people much of anything. And it's not necessarily lying. It's being about that lifestyle. Because what dawned on me listening to Bryce Young speak for the first time since he started taking first team reps out at OTAs, it's becoming clear this is not a PR sculpted persona. This is who Bryce Young is. Try to go on the Google search here or on the Twitters, on the social media, and find a Bryce Young party story from Alabama. Go and try. I did. Couldn't find anything. Even though he's the biggest star in the sport, and he's in the SEC, for God's sake. Couldn't find anything. Ever since he was drafted in Charlotte, did you ever see the TMZ story or see him out and about in Charlotte? Oh, man, he's out of the club. Haven't seen anything. Instead, here was Bryce talking about what he's done on his off time away from the facility.
Yeah, it's been pretty chill. Not too much to report. A lot of the time does go to that, and being here, I'm trying to do everything I can to to watch film, get the playbook down. So, not too much of it has been outside of just going back to where I'm staying and getting ready for the next day. My family's been down here to visit and help me out with stuff. So that time's been great that I've had with family. But outside of that, sorry to be boring, but I don't have too much exciting news to report.
Sorry to you guys to be boring, but what the Carolina Panthers hear when they say that, oh man, this guy gets it. He's a rookie, but he's checking all the boxes. He's got the media piece down. Remember, this guy, he's probably going to have less exposure as the Carolina Panthers starting quarterback this year, as he did the last 2 years as Alabama starter, because when you're playing in the SEC, you're in that 3:30 time slot, CBS, primetime, or you're nationally televised every single week. And if you lose one game, it's Armageddon. It's actually tamped down going to be the Panthers' starting quarterback in the NFL this year. So, of course he's ready. Already getting first-team reps. Already has the playbook down. He's telling Andy Dalton when something's wrong on the play sheet a couple of weeks into him being in the building. And on top of that, he's got the right coaching staff around him to maximize him. This point can't be emphasized enough. You got adults in the room like Frank Reich, who has been there, played the position, offensive-minded guy. Josh McCown, you invest in Jim Caldwell and Parks Frazier. You have the right people surrounding Bryce Young, and you have the right guy who has his priorities in the right place, who's exciting on the field, and off the field is not even a concern. You're not concerned where what he's going to do with his money. He's the first star player to come from the NIL age who already enters the NFL legally being a millionaire. He knows what to do with his money. He's already had money. You don't have to worry about him going to clubs. You don't have to worry about him doing the wrong things. Yesterday, he showed up to practice 2 hours before it was supposed to start. He's boring in the right kind of way, in the way you like your surgeon to be boring, in the way you like to be your lawyer to be boring. He's boring in the best way a politician is. Not great for us, but great for the Carolina Panthers.
You're on the drive with Josh Graham, WSJS.
Got good news and I got bad news for you, WD. Which would you like first?
I always prefer the bad news first.
The bad news is you're about to lose our lunch slash dinner bet for the NBA Finals.
It would seem.
Yeah, your Miami Heat aren't winning three in a row.
I'm not sure they're going to win tonight.
We'll get to that in a second. That gets us to the good news, which is our friends at Real Q hooking us up with some barbecue today to have for dinner right after, or I guess supper, right after the show ends.
Supper time.
Yeah, right after the show ends. Darren Bott, yourself, myself, going to dine on some Real Q before we head out to Stan Cotton's Radio Ranch. Watch the Outlaw Josie Wales tonight. Stan going to join us at about 10 minutes getting back to the Deeks. To the NBA Finals, though, tonight's the night for the Denver Nuggets. Denver is not going to lose at home. They lost their last home game in Game 2, but that was their first home loss of the playoffs, WD. Would you like to take a guess the last time they've lost back-to-back home games? How long it's been? How many months?
I'm going to guess maybe since February.
First week of March. So pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
Over 3 months since the Nuggets have lost back-to-back home games. The Heat, looking at games 3 and 4, they are playing as if they're about to tap out. One common thread between the first four games, the Heat have not scored more than 100 points yet. They've been held in check. And it's a pretty bad sign when Jimmy Butler shoots over 50% from the field like he did in the last game, and Bam goes for 20, and you still lose that game at home by double digits. They actually didn't play bad in either of the last two games, and they still lost at home by double digits in each of those games. Now, with that said, the Heat, hashtag Heat culture, they're going to throw everything they have at Denver tonight. So this is the hottest take that I have. Everybody, I think, has arrived at Denver's going to win the series. But the hottest take I have is tonight's going to be the best game of the series. It's going to be close. It's going to be a great game. Is that a hot take at all?
Is that the hot part? I thought you were about to tell me the Heat were going to actually win tonight.
No.
I don't know if I can give you an air horn for that.
Okay. That's fair. Question asked, question answered. But I do think this is the best game we're going to have, which might not be saying a lot. Like, what's been the best game prior to this? Game 2, right? The Heat won. There was a play at the buzzer where Jamal Murray had
had a look at it. That's the best game we've had. I think tonight's going to top that. With the Heat playing for their lives, Miami or Denver trying to win their first ever finals. I think tonight is the night for Denver, but I think it's going to be a fantastic basketball game too. I think it's going to be a fantastic finish. Speaking of fantastic finishes, what a time for golf right now. Really. Did you know, WD? These things kind of sneak up on you. Did you know that this week is the U.S. Open?
I knew it was getting close. I didn't realize it was this week.
The U.S. Open starts this week, and it's out in L.A., and it comes a week after the PGA Tour, LIV Golf, merger, partnership, whatever you want to call it. They're under the same umbrella. And in between these two major events, you had the Canadian Open from over the weekend, and it's just another reminder that nobody is better at calling the sport of golf than Jim Nance is, because a Canadian player named Nick Taylor hit a walk-off eagle in playoff holes to win the Canadian Open. Here's how it sounded.
Good pace. Are you serious? Oh my goodness! Glorious and free!
And then there was the long pause, which great announcers do. And does this make me smart or... Okay, I know it doesn't make me smart. Does this make me dumb that it took me about 9-10 times of listening to that to connect what Jim Nance was doing there?
What do you mean? What
do you know why he said glorious and free?
I do not.
It's part, I believe that's part of the Canadian national anthem, no?
It very well could be.
Okay, that makes me feel better that you didn't connect those
dots. No. I did not know that.
Let me make sure I get this right. See, this is not, I'm not 100, I've heard enough Canadian anthems going to Canes hockey games that I feel like I would know. Yeah. God keep our land glorious and free. Or as Jim Nance might say, God keep our land
glorious and free.
Oh, Canada, we stand on guard.
See?
For thee. Don't interrupt. Oh, Canada, we stand on guard for thee. Show some respect.
I didn't know you were going to keep going.
Oh, I got to show some respect. I'll do the French version next.
Oh boy.
It is an outstanding call.
See,
how do you come up with that on the spot?
Glorious and free.
Because it's Jim Nance, and we know that he had
that prepackaged.
I think he had that. He had to have. He does this in the Final Four.
Going into the playoff hole. But how do you do that for golf?
You do your homework. That's the level of homework he does.
Pretty good.
You know that.
It's pretty good. But for something like that, you're probably not prepared for that on an eagle.
Probably not. I bet he couldn't wait to rip that line off.
He was ready.
I bet he was like, I get to use it. I get to do it.
You know who else was ready? The security guard.
Yes.
So Nick Taylor hit the putt. He was upstaged by the security guard who tackled another player who I had never heard of before, who started spraying champagne on Taylor and his caddy. And the security guard, to quote Cat Williams, is the only real mother bleeper in the equation here. Like, I don't blame this dude at all. He's not supposed to know who every golfer is. He probably knows, though, especially on the final hole, who is supposed to be allowed to run on the course and who isn't.
Right.
And that guy wasn't on the list. That guy, he walked up to the bouncer at the club. His name was not on the list for getting onto the 18th green in that spot.
So you don't think the security guard's going to get in trouble?
No. I think he's going to get a raise.
See,
form tackle, didn't lead with his head.
See, this is where I fell on it. He's either getting a raise or he's getting fired.
He's not getting fired.
It's not going to be nothing in the middle.
You're not firing this guy. Because he, again, to quote Cat Williams, he's the only real one in the equation. He was doing his job. It's not his job. They tell you who's allowed to be on that 18th green, who isn't. That guy wasn't allowed on the 18th green.
You know
who you don't see running at the Masters? You don't see other golfers running onto the 18th green trying to spray champagne on the winner. No, because you're going to get tackled by security guards if you do, as you should.
You know, the Panthers do need another pass rusher.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, hey.
What's this guy doing?
Brian Burns, link him up.
Mm-hmm. But back to Nance. His golf is superior. He is good on basketball, and he's no longer going to be on the Final Four or the NCAA tournament. This year was his last one. He's okay on football, but golf, it just doesn't get better. There's nobody in the history of that sport, with all due respect, Vernon Lundquist and some of the others, that is as good as Jim Nance is on it. I hope he does it forever. And he says he's going to keep doing it till the 100th Masters, which would be in 2036. It sounds like we'll get to enjoy Jim Nance on golf for quite a little while. Speaking of calls, if you haven't heard Stan Cotton's call of the final out that sent Wake to Omaha yesterday, we're going to play that for you and have Stan Cotton react to Stan Cotton when Stan joins us next.
One, three.
You're on the air.
Wake up with Jeffrey Griffin and Triad today. Weekday mornings at 7. Now back to The Drive with Josh Graham.
From Manassi on its way, swinging a chopper to the right side. Second baseman Johnson flips to first. Out! And that will do it! Let the dog pile begin. Wake Forest wins the Winston-Salem Super Regional. And for the first time in 68 long years, is headed to the College World Series.
That was the call of Stan Cotton yesterday, as Wake Forest punched its tickets to Omaha. Stan Cotton joins us now. Stan, I want to ask you about Stan of yesterday. Grade your call. How'd you feel about it?
Oh, I think in the moment, pretty good. I've always told folks when I speak to them, you know, younger broadcasters or students or whatever, the game's the most important thing, right? Not the announcer or anything like that on the periphery. It's always the game. And I think, you know, that was one of those weird games where the outcome was determined, you know, what, an hour and a half before the end of the game, something like that. So there was no walk-off. There was no dramatic play on the field that ended the game. What was dramatic was that long, at least in my view, that long wait was over. You know, 1955 is a long time ago, and that's the last time the Deacs had been to the World Series. So I think, you know, whatever, good enough for the moment. And it was certainly fun to sit there and be a part of that moment as the players continued to celebrate on the field. And the thing that really got me, Josh, was when Bill Merrifield, great player for the Deacs, as we all know, rolled Dr. Gene Hooks in a wheelchair out onto that field that bears his name. And that Dr. Hooks was there at the game, was able to watch what no team had done since, you know, way back before 1960. You know, he's been so good to me over the years. Dr. Hooks has a couple of handwritten notes over the years and just so supportive of me. And I got choked up when we were talking about him being out there on the field. So the moment was huge. And I was just, you know, thrilled to be a very small part of that yesterday.
Because for those who don't know the history with Gene Hooks, maybe younger listeners, the picture I saw was him and Ron Wellman and John Curry on a field. Those are the three athletic directors for the last 60 years of Wake Forest sports. Yes.
Yeah. Unbelievable. I mean, that's those three right there. And we talked about that too. You know, Dr. Hooks for so long, and he was such a visionary. He really was. He was ahead of his time. And then Ron Wellman's long tenure and all the good things that Ron did. And now John Curry, very progressive type of athletic director, embraces, you know, technology and all the different things that the current times have. And those three guys together, pretty powerful moment out there, I'm sure. And we talked about it a little bit on our broadcast at the very end.
Yeah, we just now need to get Mr. Hooks out to Omaha, where he's quite familiar. He might even know some of the places.
He might direct us to some good steak joints. Probably could.
Yeah. Back in 1949, when we lost the championship game to Texas, there was this place right here. Maybe it's changed a little bit. Who knows? But Stan Cotton going to be making. Have you ever been to Omaha?
Never been to Omaha. This, you know, and we don't do all of the baseball games. You know, Larry Sorensen and I, and he's listening, by the way. He's traveling and listening.
Hey, Larry.
But we've done all the postseason this year, and we'll go all, obviously all the way to the end. And it's been, you know, we do a lot of games on ACC Network Extra, but it's been quite the ride. You know, all of us knew that this was a special team. I think the whole country really felt that. Look out for Wake Forest, and here Wake is in the end, really, I think, making a statement through the regionals and the super regionals about who's the favorite. And I think the number one seed and the number one ranked team in the country will be that. And we'll see how it shakes out. But Wake's playing awfully well right now. Should be a lot of fun.
Stan Cotton with us here. You mentioned your broadcast partner, Larry Sorensen, who's listening right now. By the way, thank you, Larry, for not texting me last week about your Brewers taking 2 out of 3 against my beloved Orioles. I know you're more of a Tigers fan, but I do appreciate not getting the text in that circumstance. But something Larry said a couple of months ago is when he, and it kind of raised eyebrows at the moment, was he said the expectation isn't getting to Omaha. It's winning games at Omaha for this baseball team. And anything less than that will be, I don't know if a failure is the word, but maybe a little bit disappointing considering what they've been all throughout the year. How do you start to set expectations for the World Series? Because this doesn't feel like a, you know, icing on the cake, house money situation.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, I've never been. Larry has been a broadcaster there before and experienced that. And it's, you know, you've got 8 teams, right? And it's a double elimination deal. So a lot of opportunity for a lot of really, really good teams. And I think, you got to have a little luck on your side to win the whole thing. But good players make good luck for themselves. And this is a special team. The pitching staff is elite. I mean, Rhett Lauder's 15-0. And, the combination of Wake's pitching through the starters and in the middle relievers and on into, the last guys out of the bullpen. I don't know that I've ever seen a stab this deep. And when you hit for power and hit for average like Wake does up and down the lineup, and what Wake has done, not only throughout the regular season, but especially now marching through the regionals with no losses and just pounding the ball over the wall and scoring a ton of runs. I just can't imagine that this Wake Forest team believes, you know what, we're going to go in there and win that thing. And I think that's the stance that they will take. I think Tom Walter believes his team is the best team in the country. And so they'll go in there, I think, expecting to win, but you still have to go play hard. And I think that's what this team has done. And I think maybe more teams, more than many teams over the years that I've seen, this team really has taken on the kind of the persona of Tom Walter. And that's very confident, but as you know, Josh, not cocky. And wow, I hope they get it done. I know so many people, Larry and I for sure, would really like to see Tom Walter win a national title. I don't think anybody in the country deserves this maybe more than he does with what he has given to the game of himself, to his teams, to the university, and to others. I mean, other schools. He's been around for almost 30 years now, yeah, as a head coach. So we'll see how it shakes out, but I would not bet against this Wake Forest team right now. They are going into the College World Series hot, both on the mound and with the bat, and that's a dangerous, dangerous combination.
Stan Cotton with us here. First time since 1955, Wake Forest is going to the College World Series, as you said in the call, 68 years, and that's about as long as it took for us to get the Outlaw Josie Wales plans in, and tonight is the night. Tonight's the night that we're going to watch Outlaw Josie Wales. I'm going to watch it for the first time. It's your favorite movie of Clint Eastwood's, who you love more than anyone else. Why is it your favorite Clint Eastwood movie?
I don't know. It's just when you watch it
tonight,
I think you'll understand. I'm not sure I can explain it. And I like all the Clint Eastwood movies, but this one, I don't know, man. I can't.
It's going to be WD's first Clint Eastwood movie. He hasn't seen any Clint Eastwood movies.
Wow. Well, look, I everything's ready to go. I've been in there vacuuming.
Whoa.
I've had both daughters, grandkid, granddog, wife. Everybody's out. They're all out of town today, and so it's just the three amigos, you, me, and Will. And even though there's some NCAA baseball games going on tonight, we'll be watching the Outlaw Josie Wales. And I swear you, if you don't like it, then you're going to drop down a notch or two in my view if you don't like this one.
I also brought snacks. I got some candy. Got the
he's ready.
Yeah, bring gummy your own clusters. Stuff.
I'm ready.
You guys grab some dinner on your way out of the studio.
Oh, Real Q. Real Q's bringing us some food into the studio today. So we're going to be well fed and taken care of on the way into the radio ranch tonight. But
well, we are Clint and I are sitting on go, and we're ready.
All right, Stan Cotton, we'll see you in a few hours. Thanks for doing this.
Okay, you bet.
There we go. Stan Cotton, voice of the Deacs, joining us. He's right. There is some college baseball tonight. Maybe some double screen action where Tennessee faces Southern Miss at 6. You got at 8 o'clock Texas facing Stanford, and the remaining game threes, the remaining super regionals that haven't been decided yet.
He's vacuuming everything for us. I feel like royalty.
Yeah, big time. Like I said, brought my own snacks. BYOS, bring your own snacks.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm doing here. Excited for that later on tonight. Before we get to the Big Four, brought to you by...
Budget Blinds.
Yeah, that's right. Just go subtle there. Yeah. We'll go big getting in a few minutes. A couple of topics we've been following pretty closely. Updates on the North Carolina sports wagering bill. Roy Cooper has till June 18th to sign that. What's today's date? What are we on right now? It's June 12th. He's going to sign it on Wednesday.
Send me that cash out, fam.
It's going to be signed into the law on Wednesday. Probably they'll get it fired up in January of next year, no later than a year from this month. And then Danielle Hunter, apparently, is skipping minicamp for the Minnesota Vikings. Seems there might be some contract issues there. We pointed this out on Friday. Panthers have money to extend guys like a Danielle Hunter. Just saying that that's something that we can, you know, hope for. Especially if you're a Carolina Panthers fan. Getting that guy and you're building 28, one of the best pass rushers in the NFL. He's unhappy, holding out from the team's mandatory minicamp.
The Drive with Josh Graham, only on WSJS.
WD's telling me we got one more pair of Nickelback tickets to give away, and he says it's your choice, Charlotte or Raleigh. Charlotte's on a Tuesday night in September. Raleigh's on a Thursday night in September. I don't know if this would influence anybody whether what show they would choose, since we're kind of in the middle. Darren Vaught and I are going to go to that Raleigh show.
We're going.
We're there.
We're making it happen.
Mm-hmm. 336-777-1600. All you have to do is ask us an unusual question. Could be sports, could be otherwise, and you will get tickets to whichever those two shows. And I imagine those tickets will be wherever our tickets are going to be if you're going to the Raleigh show. So if you want to see us raging to some Nickelback, this is the part where you play the drop, WD, in case you didn't know. Nickelback. Yeah, just the drop.
This
the
plus part. 5 seconds
yeah.
is the part.
Where look at this photograph.
By the way, can we just like clear the air on something?
Please.
They got hits.
They have a ton. I went to go see, there was a band not too long ago. Who was it that had a, I remember sitting there like, wow.
You saw, you,
six,
you happened
seven deep.
You happened unto Fuel. Once
and that happened in Winston-Salem at Incendiary. That happened on a Labor Day weekend. Like, hey, there are a lot of people here. They're playing Fuel songs. Oh wait,
it's Fuel. I was so jealous.
Plain White Tees. I went to a Plain White Tee show. I'm like, whoa, they got a lot of songs that I like. Nickelback. And it sounds like they're in the stage. It sounds like they're in the stage of their career where it's like, hey, we know you like these songs. We're just going to play these songs.
Yeah.
Kind of like T-Pain when we saw him in Winston a few years ago. T-Pain, still the only show I ever went to. Darren Vaught and I, amongst a bunch of Wake students a couple years ago, went to this show at the Joel. He never once addressed the audience. What's up, Winston-Salem? Nothing. He just went on for an hour and 10 minutes, only bangers, and then left stage.
Nickelback,
greatest show ever.
Nickelback knows what to do. This is a nostalgia fest.
Mm-hmm.
If there ever was one.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be similar to like, I saw Fall Out Boy a couple years ago, and like I'm past really caring what Fall Out Boy puts out. right? To me, Dammit made a song that I've really, really, it's really resonated with me in a long time, like a decade plus.
Yeah.
But they just kept playing songs, and it's like, this one, you know what? This one's good. Yeah. And it never stopped. So I think Nickelback's going to be the same way. I have high expectations.
Look at this photograph.
Let's answer unusual questions.
Last week, guys, everybody made it out that I got mad at Josh and I left the press conference. That's not right. I thought it was an unusual question, and it's okay.
It's time for Unusual Questions with Josh Graham.
And with Nickelback tickets on the line, we go to Artie in Thomasville, who I assume wants to win these tickets. Artie, how excited would you be to go see Nickelback?
Well, I heard your top five at five, and your number one was Another Bear Story, and you give the same advice every time you run a bear story.
Hey, bear.
But is it not more accurate to say, and it's low probability here in North Carolina since we don't have grizzlies.
Yeah.
But it's brown get down, black fight back.
Wait. Whoa.
Hold on.
Hold one sec.
We should dance if there's a brown bear?
Hold one sec. Artie, explain your position very quickly. I need to just understand and clarify your position.
Brown bear are all the same thing.
Okay. So what are we supposed to do when we stumble upon a black bear?
Black bear, you get big, you fight back.
Brown bear?
If you happen to run into a grizzly, you get down.
You get down. You
play
dead.
That's play dead.
Okay.
Essentially.
This is good stuff. So that's a nice
Artie
clarifying.
Could admit you bust a move. You break out. And
you
dance.
Know, I think that's good enough that you don't even have to ask a question. I appreciate the clarification, but if you have one, we will answer it, Artie.
Well, that was my question. Is that not the correct advice to be giving out?
I've never heard that, but yeah, I would take your word for it, Artie.
It is. That is an interesting question to ask on a sports radio show out of context, devoid of context. I appreciate you providing the context. Very good call there. Artie, you're going to the Nickelback show. Congratulations.
Can I make the clarification? We are not in any way experts on this.
I am.
Yeah, I was waiting for that. Josh thinks he is.
Yeah. Play big. Bear. Hey, Bear. That's what you do.
Break out in song and dance. That's what Artie says, if it's brown.
No, get down. He's a...
Get down.
I see what you did there now. I don't know why it took me a couple of times to catch that. Just like listening to Jim Nance's call of that miracle putt yesterday in the Canadian Open. I didn't realize what he was doing was paying homage to the Canadian national anthem until about the 12th time I heard it. And WD still didn't catch it, even when I told him that's exactly what they were doing. We have that call still, right? It was the putt that he sunk. Or Taylor hit the putt, Canadian golfer, to win the Canadian Open.
Yeah, we got it.
And the national anthem goes like this, WD. All I need is the key line in the call. At the end of the song, O Canada, which is obviously the national anthem. If you've ever been to a hockey game, you know exactly where that is. Let me see if I can find the part that I'm looking for very quickly here. He closed his call by saying this.
Glorious and free.
Oh, Canada, yeah. We stand on guard for thee. I didn't realize that's what he was doing for the longest time. What is your unusual question, Darren?
What kind of host do you think Stan Cotton's going to be later?
Phenomenal.
Hospitable.
He's already no vacuuming. Doubt.
He said he was vacuuming.
Yeah. He's going to treat us like kings.
He also said, bring your own snacks.
Which, right.
Yeah, Josh, your own chocolate milk, everything.
I already said I was bringing my own snacks. Not an issue. Yeah. Not an issue.
What are those? Traditional nerds?
I just wonder if like halfway through the movie.
Oh, they're the clusters.
If there's halfway through the movie, I'm like, you know, going to whip out some ice cream, maybe a brew, something of those sorts. I don't
Stan,
know. I think Stan's got us. I think Stan does. If halfway through the movie... You know, our guy Josie just killed a couple of people, as you do.
And one does.
Yeah. I just wonder if there'd be some, some refreshments of sorts.
He'd be like, hey, Stan, you're the voice of the Demon Deacons. You got some ice cream and some root beer for some floats, don't you?
Let's go to Don in Winston-Salem, who has an unusual question. Hi, Don. What do you have?
Well, there's one place in the United States where you can walk less than a mile.
Mm.
And find yourself in the same other state. Any direction you can walk less than a mile and be in the same other state. And I happen to think of it because it's going to come into play this week.
I think it's Nebraska you're talking about. Am I right?
You are right. And what's the other state?
The other state would be either Colorado or Kansas.
Nope.
Ah, which one? What's the other state?
Iowa.
Ah.
So hold on. All right. So you could pinpoint one spot in Nebraska, and you walk a half mile in literally any direction.
No, you're in Iowa.
In Iowa.
You walk less than a mile in any direction, and you find yourself in Nebraska.
That's right. Yeah. I see that now.
Oh, I got to pull up a map.
Yeah,
now.
It's great. See, thank you for the call. That's excellent. A fantastic, unusual question. I lived on the border of Kansas, Nebraska, and Colorado, Ray, Colorado, where there was three corners. Right outside my door, about a mile, is where Kansas, Nebraska, and Colorado met. I lived there for a year, my first job out of college. Apparently, Mark in Greensboro has something on T-Pain. I can't wait to hear what he has to say. Hey, Mark.
What's up,
boy? Oh, hi, Mark. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Mark. I really do. It's not necessarily about T-Pain; it's correlation. So,
sure.
When I was just out of college, I went to see Chris Rock, not Bring the Pain, but the Bigger Blacker tour. So it was after that.
Wow!
And it was at a venue called the Oakdale. And actually, what's even more interesting about it is I sat next to Richard Hamilton, which was me nerding out about things because I'm a UConn guy.
You were sitting next to Rip Hamilton at this thing?
I sure was. He was, I think he was a year into the league, or 2 years.
Wow.
So it was in Wallingford, Connecticut. So the venue is called the Oakdale, and Chris Rock called. He said, "What's going on, Oakdale?" He didn't say anything about Connecticut. Nothing about it being in Wallingford. It was just Oakdale. What's there to do in Oakdale? We're like, Oakdale's not a place, bro. This is the venue is called Oakdale. He never referred to the town or the state or anything. It was just wild.
But you got better awareness.
But also, it's Chris Rock, and this is before Will Smith days where people would run up and smack you. No one said anything to him and tried to correct him from the crowd. We were all just like, okay, cool.
That's fantastic, Mark. Thanks for the call. I went to go see Nikki Glaser a couple months ago, and she said Greensboro, South Carolina.
Ooh, that's tough.
That's a tough one.
That's tough. You gotta have better awareness than that.
Hard to really,
although like
recover from that. But I really do like Nikki Glaser. WD, do you have an unusual question for us?
I do. So as a kid, one of the highlights of traveling was always like going to a different hotel and like different places.
Yeah, you like hotels. Sarah Bradford loves hotels too. Like really into hotels.
I'm also team hotel. Airbnbs burn me one too many times.
I remember that story.
But I've been to enough hotels where I'm seldom super impressed by hotels anymore.
So the unusual question is, what chain hotel have you had the best experiences with?
Omni.
Buddy, I'm a Marriott guy.
I am a Hampton Inn guy.
I'm a Marriott guy.
Sugar cookies.
Although, you guys aware of Citizen M?
No.
Sort of like a very kind of European style hotel, somewhat affordable, kind of a like an economy level, very like little rooms, but normally you're staying in them when you go to a bigger city and you just need somewhere to like sleep. Stayed at one in Washington, D.C. a month ago. When did I go there? Like a month ago? Solid experience. But typically, I'm a Marriott Rewards guy. So,
when you're having people over, what snack's the highest batting average snack? I bring people over to my place. We have a church group every Thursday night. And one of them doesn't eat sugar. So we did strawberries instead. But it had me thinking, like, if you don't know the people who are coming over, let's say, what snack has the highest batting average?
Quick clarifier. Your guest knows that strawberries have sugar in them, right?
That's what I was thinking.
Like
natural sugar.
Natural sugar.
I understand. There's
sugar nonetheless.
I'm a big, hey, let's get a pizza guy. That never misses.
Pizza's not a snack. That's an entree.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
that's a mindset issue. That's
No. I'm not gonna let you get off the hook with pizza. I'm saying we're setting something out that are just snack like finger food. We're not like having like a full fledged meal.
See, I don't
here.
Host like that. That's not the way I host. No.
Sure.
We don't do finger foods.
WD?
Chips and salsa never lost.
What type of salsa?
Mmm. You ever heard of Mateo's?
This is like the end of 8 Mile where Mateo's? The music stops.
Yeah. Sure. I mean, sure. I would trust that Mateo's.
I meant like texture.
Chunky.
How hot? You going medium because you don't know how
crowd pleaser.
People want
to go with the crowd pleaser. Medium, chunky's the only move.
100%. I don't know. Medium usually, but sometimes I even worry about that because like some people really don't like spicy. Medium can have a kick to it depending on what brand it is.
You warm up some queso, get a separate bowl with some queso.
Always.
Some and guac.
Big hummus guy.
Okay. Hummus is good. Yeah, I can do hummus.
And pita chips. Oh.
M&M's.
See, too grabby. It's like having peanuts in a bowl. That it seems grimy to me.
Cheese balls.
Oh yeah.
Oh, all right. We talking holiday snacking?
Cheese puffs.
Like Puffy mom's ones. Mom's cooking Thanksgiving or whatever, but during the day you're just like grazing on some cheese ball and a cracker, like a Ritz cracker with a cheese ball.
We got the hip hop air horn ready to go because this guy's writing in all caps, so I feel like it warrants that.
Yes.
Buzz City writes in. Definitely chips and salsa.
That's right.
He's got it. Yeah, that makes sense.
I've come to find a staple at the Graham household is that dark chocolate bark.
It's good.
It is good.
Sarah Bradford, she is the master at finding the finger foods. She has the proper plates and stuff, too, for it. Everything gets its own little plate. She's really good at this.
I believe that.
Cheese plate.
She's
charcuterie.
Probably killer host.
Yeah, She's the master of that. Her two top skills, I've come to find out. These are the two top skills I've learned about her after getting married. So, like, I knew a lot of her great skills upon marrying her, but post being married, since this week marks our 1-year anniversary, is she makes unbelievable animal sounds, like playing with dogs. Like when she plays with Willow, she is a master at playing with dogs. Dogs love Sarah Bradford. The sounds that she makes with her mouth.
Can you give us an example of this?
No, I can't because I can't do it as well as she does. Way she plays with animals, it's unbelievable. She's like the Steph Curry of playing with dogs. And then the second thing that I learned, incredible at hosting people.
All right, regarding the first of the two, why can I not get the image out of, do you guys know King of the Hill?
Yeah.
Leanne.
Bobby.
Leanne, their daughter or stepdaughter, has the finger puppets and she gets the local access TV show, The Manger Babies.
But hold on a second.
She's doing the voices for them.
I shouldn't have just said animal sounds. I'm talking about like when conversing with animals.
Right.
Like she's great with animals.
You said animal sounds. And my mind was the Leanne from King of the Hill playing with finger puppets. And oinking like a pig.
Dang it, Bobby.